subconscious and consciousness and identity and like your innate wisdom, like all those things are kind of in the skull. And it's also how your energy flows at that foundational level. There's a very distinct pattern into how it moves in through the fingers, the arms, comes into what we know as the core part of our body. And the core part of our body is where those deeper things are held. The rest of our bones are kind of helping us bring it in and integrate and co-create.
Welcome back. Here we are. Let's do it. Welcome back to the Empowered Expression Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline Addington, former engineer and neuroscientist turned organic marketing maven. If you're a longtime listener, I'm so glad you're back. If you're just finding us for the first time, whoa, baby, welcome to your new favorite podcast. Today's episode is so cool. It's so cool. Oh my God. You guys were asking for more spirituality on the podcast. You got it, baby. It's coming in hot and heavy. We're talking with a beautiful human and good friend, Ashley Stinson. And like, man, how to summarize this conversation? You're just going to have to listen to it, okay? You're just going to have to listen to it. But we essentially talk about how, to try and summarize it into one bullet point, we talk about how the inner work that you do can be mapped to your body and vice versa. So you're just going to have to listen because it's rad. It's super rad. It does such a great job of, I think, creating like something tangible to really sink your teeth into when it comes to talking about like doing the work and doing your inner work and all the things. So it's a really, really juicy conversation. And we talk about like, you know, all kinds of trippy theories as to where astrology came from and where language came from. So yeah, just buckle up and you know, enjoy the ride. So a little bit about Ashley, so that you know who we're jamming out with. Ashley's the creatress of energy archaeology and the realms of embodiment. And we get into that in the episode. So you'll know exactly what I mean by that by the end of the episode. It's a framework for embodied awareness. The realms of embodiment is a framework for embodied awareness and self-healing that guides you into the inherent wisdom in your bones, your muscles, your fluid, your body organs, or your fluid body, your organs, your nervous system, and your DNA. And we cover all of this in this episode. It's super, super cool. Ashley's also a teacher, a mentor, and a guide for embodied wisdom, energetic anatomy, and living a soul-aligned life within the context of your everyday. She encourages you to explore the depth and breadth of your human experience through her innate gift to find patterns in what's said, unsaid, seen, and unseen. So yeah, she essentially helps guide you out of your head and into your body. So you're going to hear us talking a lot about how your inner work is coded into your body. It's super, super cool. Okay. As you're listening to this episode, if your brain is exploding with good shit, share it on your Instagram stories. You can tag me at caroline.addington_. You can tag Ashley at @TheAshleyStinson. We would love to see what some of your like aha moments are as you're listening to this episode. You can also head on over to iTunes to subscribe and leave a review, write a little review for the pod. It helps the podcast grow so, 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 so much. Like it makes such a huge difference, you guys. Our listenership has just been growing and growing and growing in all kinds of magical ways. Thanks to you. Thanks to you guys for always, you know, showing up, sharing like bosses, listening all the time. Like I love you so much. And I'm so grateful to this community for all that you guys do to help grow the podcast. Cool. All right. Before we dive on in, you know what I got to tell you about, right? Do you know? You probably know. You might know. I don't know. If it's your first time, you might not know. Maybe. Bigger than a brand. Bigger than a brand. The greatest Instagram marketing program on the block by a wide margin. I mean, I'm biased, but you know, you can ask former clients as well. They'll say the same thing. So Bigger Than a Brand, it gives you everything you need, from soul support to community support to strategy support. It gives you all the tools that you need to go from crickets on the Insta land to consistent, reproducible, predictable clients. It is such a gorgeous program because it doesn't just speak to the strategy, but it speaks to the soul of the matter, right? Like, you get the deep, deep, deep emotional support as you are moving through everything, that all the fears that we got to move through and all the up levels that we got to move through whenever we are making our dreams happen, right? So it's a beautiful program because it doesn't just throw a bunch of PDFs at you and call it a day. It goes deep with you. As deep as you're willing to go, the program will go with you. So if you know that you're a heart-centered coach and you're ready to be done feeling like Instagram is a thing that you have to do or a thing that you really resist doing, and you want it to be fun, you want it to be easy, you want it to be natural, then yo, check the link in the show notes. You can read all about it. You can sign up for the waitlist, and I hook you guys up with sweet tips and tricks and mindset shifts and all kinds of good shit by email every week leading up to the doors opening. So if that's something you're interested in, there's a link in the show notes where you can check it out. All right, without further ado, let's hop on in and learn all about the magic that Ashley has to offer the world. All right, yay! I'm so excited for this conversation. So, Ashley, they will have, you know, formally met you in the introduction, virtually formally met you in the introduction. But I always like to start by asking, in your words, what is the essence of the magic that you bring to the world?
Oh, gosh. I think the essence of the magic that I bring to the world, what a grandiose way to put that.
I know. We're just going straight for the jugular.
I love it. Is probably just the unique way that I see things and explain them and describe them. It comes through, it doesn't matter what you look at for me, whether it's human design or my astrology or like gene keys or like any system like that helps us kind of understand and conceptualize what it is. It's always about rebirth and explaining things in a new way and redesigning the world from the inside out. And it's literally what I do. I just do it in kind of this nerdy way of embodiment.
Yeah.
Magical nerdiness.
Yeah. Magical nerdiness. That's great. So well said. That's one of the things that I've always really admired about the work that you do, is that it is so, like, it's so innovative and it's so grounded and rooted at the same time. You know, it's like innovative and like pushing forward a body of work, but at the same time, it's like so technical and it's so intricate and it's so like, it's really, really a unique blend. I think that that blend is not all that common. You know, people are either in the like visionary, innovative, vague, abstract feelings of where they're going, or really, really rooted in the technical side of things. But to do both and to blend both feels like that magical nerdiness.
Yeah, it is. And I think a lot of it has to do with my background in science. It did not go as far in the sciences as you did, but I have a background in environmental science, in ecology, and then a master's in landscape architecture. So there's a lot of like application and really thinking things through all the way to the end and explaining them in detail. And this is what it means. And this is what it does, more so than just playing in the ethers. Like, that was the new thing for me.
Same. 5,000. I totally resonate with that, where it was like, wait, this is a whole way of knowing things. You don't learn things through peer-reviewed papers. What? Like, I can just learn through my body. Oh my God.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So speaking of learning through your body, I know that before we hit record, we were talking about, like, you know, the origin of your business really being very rooted in the body, in a sense, kind of expanded from there. But like, what drew you to be like, do all of the bones work that you do? And for anyone who doesn't know, isn't familiar with your work, would you just give like an overview of what it is that you do in your business? Did you lose me?
I work with the energy in the bones.
I think we had a glitch.
Okay, we're here.
Did you hear my question? clear?
I did hear your question. Okay. So we'll just start from my answer from the top. That'll make your editing easy. So the easiest way I explain it is I always tell people I work with the embodied energy in the bones. And that has since reverberated out through what I call the six realms of embodiment. But it started in the bones for me because for my personal journey, that's where I needed to start. I needed to come into that foundational layer and understand what it was that was there. And I was doing it, I always say I'm my own first guinea pig. So I was doing it within myself. And then I was working with clients. And every time I would open up a session and I would feel what they were feeling, I would see the energy in their bones. And when I say that, like I literally see like a hologram. So I would see the way the energy in the bones was showing up. And it was just like putting together a puzzle, which is hugely satisfying for me.
Totally.
And so I would be looking and saying, okay, the sternum is looking like it's not there. And so your ribs are like overcompensating here and it's not allowing energy to flow through the thoracic spine, which is where the ribs connect in the back. And they would be saying, oh my God, I cannot move my ribs. Like my shoulder blades always feel like they're stuck. And I'd be like, yeah, they are stuck, you know, like, but so then I would go into almost like decoding what that meant. You know, like if your sternum is not showing up to me, you've kind of like almost removed this place of like vulnerability and heart hurt. Like you don't let yourself access it. And so your ribs then, instead of like flowing everything around and into your spinal column, which is your central energy column, are compensating for that. And like they're just kind of building up that energized pressure. And it's making things stick and it's stuck and it literally impacts your physical body. So that's kind of like what it's like to sit with me and me to be like, oh, hey, this thing's happening in your body. This is what it's meaning and what it's showing. But I also have gotten to the point where I recognize that you don't need me to translate that for you. Like sometimes you just need a key word or for me to like give you a sentence or to watch a video that's going to unlock what that means. And then you take it and you run with it. Like, yeah. We all have this inside of us.
Yes. Preach. Preach. I think that that's something that's so like in the growth field and the, you know, realm of personal exploration and personal evolution, I think that there's such a tendency to outsource that self-trust and to say like, oh, I need to work with so-and-so in order to get such and such results. And I need to overcome this trauma or that wound or this thing. And so I'm going to like reach out and like, and there's value in that because there's so much value in being vulnerable with another human being and like, you know, seeing your own resilience and your own strength. And the ability to trust ourselves and be like, oh, I actually like, I have everything I need. I just need to keep exploring the world and I'll bump into all of these keys along the way that I'll keep opening locks. Like, that's all I got to do. I just got to keep exploring and like following my curiosity.
That's 100% it. I tell people all the time, you do not need to go looking for anything. It will find you. It will come up.
Totally. So is that how you've segued from being, you know, primarily focused on the bones to being more focused on like these different realms of embodiment that you're playing with?
Yes. Well, there was a struggle in that, right? Because there always is whenever we start to build an identity around something. And I had started to identify with my work in the bones. And this is what I did. I mean, I just recently changed my name on Instagram because I was like, I don't just do this anymore. But it was really hearing messages personally for me. And when I was in sessions with clients, it was like, you're done with the bones. You're done with the bones. And I was like, oh, but my God, no, they're the foundation. That's where I started. How am I done with them? And I just realized that it meant it was time to expand.
Yeah.
Because sessions were no longer just looking at the bones, I'd be like, oh, look at this bone here. And interesting, there's this attachment to a muscle. Like, and it's looking like the ligament there is not showing up. I wonder what's happening here. And bringing that same curiosity into saying, like, this is what our muscles are also doing. And this is what our fluid body is then doing. And here's where our organs are playing into it and our nervous system's connecting it all. And then like when you break it down into the DNA and the quantum and you just kind of explode into this Mobius strip of everything is everything and is everything, you know, and is all the same. It kind of brings this really interesting full circle to go all the way back down then and to be like, oh my God. And I start again at the foundation, you know? So I started working with how these things actually move. Also like a ladder in our body. So we will notice something maybe in one realm and I number them just in my head. So I'll say like realm 4, which is organs and emotion. We'll notice something there. And if you're really paying attention to your body, it's going to move through these different realms and different layers in almost like a predictable way, in a way that you can understand it. Because it's either going to come up in the realm of organ and emotion, and then your nervous system's going to settle, and then it's going to reorganize something in your field. So if it's moving up, or if it hits at the organ and emotion and it moves down, it's going to come up as an emotion. It's going to help you rebalance something, which is the fluid realm. And then it's going to move into how you are connected and attached to whatever that thing was, all the way down into the foundational reorganization, like in your bones.
Cool.
So it's like it goes both ways and exists everywhere at the same time.
Yeah, well, and I like one of the things that's really standing out to me just in what you're sharing already is the profound intelligence of the body, because I think that like we know it intellectually, but to have such an intimate relationship and like an awareness, you know, and words and like, you know, connections between all of this is so, so, so cool. So, okay. I got to ask because I'm super curious. Will you walk us through these different realms so that everybody like has their footing in what you're talking about?
Sure. Okay, let's start at the bones. So this one is what I just call bone and foundation. And this is where we're looking at a lot of like the deepest aspects of ourself. And I started here because I was looking at the deepest aspects of myself whenever I was doing this. But it's looking at like your lineage connection and ancestry in your pelvis, your inner child stuff in your shoulder blades, subconscious and consciousness and identity and like your innate wisdom, like all those things are kind of in the skull. And it's also how your energy flows at that foundational level. There's a very distinct pattern into how it moves in through the fingers, the arms, comes into what we know as the core part of our body. And the core part of our body is where those deeper things are held. The rest of our bones are kind of helping us bring it in and integrate and co-create. So then we move into the realm of muscle and connection, or muscle and attachment is actually what I like to refer to it as, because when I started playing in this one, I understood that we're looking at our connection to resources, which is anything. And so if you think about it, you have your foundational beliefs at your bones, and then those foundational beliefs build into how you move in this world, your muscles, how you move. So you move through this world through your connection to resource, whether that resource is self-sourced within yourself, or it's money, it's time, it's relationships. It's anything really that's an energy that can act on you or you can act on it. And so what I found really interesting in this realm is the way we can start to work with it isn't so much like the shadow work that you do with the bone realm, but is more of the like attachment style work that is done in like psychotherapy, right? Because if you look at all of the resources around you, you are going to have an attachment style to them. And that attachment style that you have to your resources around you, whether it's anxious, avoidant, dismissive, secure, impacts how you work with your foundational energies and how you move through the world, how you move with your resources.
This is, okay, I'm so intrigued and fascinated as you keep going, because I'm like, you've basically already like been mapping out my own spiritual journey, where it started with all this, like, and I'm sure that this has probably been your experience too, where it started with all the deep stuff. You had to like, you know, rewire all this child's inner child things. And then it was like, oh, how am I relating with the world around me and like the people in my life and money and all the things.
So yeah, I'm super sounding incredibly familiar. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so we move into the fluid and flow realm next. And this one I always talk about is like the realm of kind of like endo to exo. And if you think about it in terms of like an embodied way, what fluids actually do in our body is they're kind of like the messengers. Like they're carrying hormones, they're carrying like neurotransmitters, like they're bathing the cells in everything. And so it's this experience of moving from the deepest part of ourselves, because a lot of the stuff in our fluids actually starts in the marrow of the bones, and then moving it through like the container, through everything. But we find balance in our body. Well, I won't say that. Our body finds balance in an automatic way. So like everything that's happening inside is usually part of a feedback mechanism, a feedback loop. Something over here becomes like a little bit heightened. And so this response over here automatically balances and brings it back down. And so we move through the world thinking that we have to find balance, which I think is just, I mean, I get it. I know why we say that. But whenever you think about it in terms of embodiment, like it's a little bit silly to think that I can impose balance over something that's already trying to find its own balance.
Meanwhile, like under the skin, your body's like doing, and on the skin, right? It's like
exactly
doing all the things.
Yeah. Like it's already finding its own balance. Often we're the ones pulling it out of balance, like exacerbating the problems instead of just like letting it find its own kind of homeostatic equilibrium inside of ourselves. So this also applies though in the spiritual realm, because we talk about things in terms of polarity, and this is the realm where we get into polarity. I typically don't talk about it in terms of masculine and feminine. I talk about it in terms of magnetic and electric. Just because of the way I see things, like that's the way they always appear to me. And I see the human body almost like a battery, right? And if we have too much of one charge, then we're like overcompensating, or we're kind of diminishing this other part of ourself. And so it's understanding that your body will naturally come back into balance. And we override it all the time by all the shoulds we give ourselves. Like, I should eat differently. I should exercise. I should whatever. And like the magnetic side of your body is like, yeah, but I want to nap. And you're like, oh, but I shouldn't nap.
Dude, okay. Can we just for a hot second stop and pause? Like, I think that this is such an important point to drive home, is that the thing that drives out of balance is the shoulding, not the, you know, because I can almost hear the listener in my head oftentimes when I'm doing these interviews. Like, you know, hearing that we often drive it out of balance by, and then like, all of these lifestyle choices, I'm doing in quotations, yes, lifestyle choices by overworking or not over, like doing the opposite of that, or eating too much sugar or drinking too much, you know, all of these rules, all of these shoulds, but it's the should itself that disrupts the balance. I think, yes, that's so important.
And I mean, I've been there. Like I had a very long history, not of eating disorder, but of disordered eating, very controlled eating, because of other stuff that was just wrong in my wrong in my body, that was trying to send me a message that I was like overriding by shooting it, you know? Yeah. And it's also at this realm, it's where we get rid of the idea that we were indoctrinated into, or I won't say we, that most of us are indoctrinated into, that like we're lazy, or like whatever the childhood story is that you were given, it's at this realm that you meet it the most, because you're going to start coming up against your own body being like, oh, but I want to take a nap. And you're going, oh no, but that means I'm lazy. I guarantee you, if you are listening to your body, you are not going to nap all day, every day. You are going to nap till you're done. And then you're going to be inspired, and you're going to actually like have the energy to do the thing you want to do.
Yeah. It's so, I'd love to hear, because my experience has been with that piece around like, wanting to like the wanting to nap versus wanting to be awake in the world. The should that pops up most frequently in my head is, I shouldn't be working so much. It's like kind of on the opposite end. Whereas, but I'm a manifesting generator. I love doing the things. I love doing all the things. I love like creating and doing the things. And I'll say, oh, you're going to burn yourself out. And then, so then I will try and force rest, which is not how it works. Whereas the energy, the most energy rich thing is the creation. So it can be on either end of the spectrum. Like that should voice can come from anywhere.
It absolutely can. And you're right. And actually, I wrote a post yesterday because I overworked. I'm a projector. So I'm the opposite end of the spectrum from you. I overworked, but it was doing all the things I loved. So it wasn't like I was telling myself I needed to get these things done. I was just like super interested in what I was doing. And at the end of the day, the fluid realm was like totally up in my face, literally like my nose was running, my eyes were watering, and I'm like, holy cow, my body's trying to rebalance itself. And so it's listening to that and being like, okay, cool. I'm going to lay down and I'm going to take it easy tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a different set point for every person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally.
Cool.
All right. So we're going to continue our journey. We're going to go into realm 4, which is organ, rhythm, and emotion. And the keyword that I give to this one is always trust. So if the keyword for realm 3 is balance, the keyword for realm 4 is trust. And this one is essentially learned through trusting your emotions, through trusting whatever feeling it is that comes up, not like making a meaning of it, I feel this way because of this certain thing, but just trusting that it's okay to feel that. The feeling will come, it will deliver what it needs to, or it will take out of your field what it needs to. And all is well, you can like keep moving, right? But as we develop that self-trust with our emotions, letting ourselves feel what it is whenever it comes up and not judging it, not shaming it, not feeling guilty about it, then we develop self-trust in other ways. And so like it starts to come into, I trust my timing. I trust myself with the people who are around me. And the reason that this is with the organs is because, again, it's this thing we don't have to think about in our body. I eat a bite of food. I trust my stomach's going to digest it. It's going to deliver it to the small intestines whenever it is like digested and passed through. You know, it's going to keep moving on this thing. I trust that my lungs are going to breathe. I trust that my heart's going to beat. And so we kind of need to take this out into the rest of our life and be like, oh, I trust that things are going to work if I'm fully following everything else. You know, and as you said, it's kind of moving up. Like we almost can't get to this phase if we haven't worked through a lot of the other stuff.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
Cool. So, then we move into nervous system is next. And that one is connection. So it's where you start moving into connection with like soul and self. And the nervous system is really the connector through the body, period. You know, this is all of our efferent and afferent nerves. This is our sensory stuff. This is like giving our brain feedback from the rest of our body. And the way that it then works multidimensionally is it also connects us to our soul. It acts kind of like a conduit in the body to connect us there. And so what you see a lot of times in spirituality or wellness, or like when we haven't moved through this lower realm portion of the body and we skip straight into this soul connection, nervous system thing, is we almost become dissociated, which actually is a nervous system state. And then we like can't bring it back down into reality, or it becomes very hard to embody because it's almost meeting this piece of ourself that we haven't met.
Mm.
And then we get into quantum and DNA, which is like the trippiest part of all of it. Which is really, it just closes the circle because we get into epigenetics, and epigenetics are where we get back into our foundations of the bones, you know? And so it's being able to understand that we can unpack all of it. We can heal all of it. Like when I see things in the quantum realm, everything looks like dots. Like it looks like pointillism paintings or whatever. And things that are, I can't even say out of balance in that realm because they're not. It's almost like they're just disrupted, like pieces look staticky. And so when we can reharmonize, which is what I always say, we bring harmony to that piece, it can change things almost instantaneously, but you can't really work in this realm. It's a really interesting, almost like catch 22. You get to this like quantum place, this ability to quantum leap, to change things in a heartbeat whenever you're ready and not a moment before, but you're also not ready till you get there. So, you know, people who are like, you know, teach me how to quantum whatever. And I'm like, it will like it legitimately happens, right? It's not something that you can force. And so then it brings you back down into your foundations and you kind of start from the bottom up again. You're now working with a whole new set of data at your bones, and that impacts and influences the rest of it.
So cool. Yeah. I totally relate to the quantum doesn't happen before you're ready. Cause I remember when I first started building business, I was like, time to quantum leap. We're going to do the quantum leaping thing. We're going to make it happen. And it just, it was, and in some sense, I'm sure I was, because I definitely was moving through lots of growth quickly, but not consciously, not deliberately in the way that I, you know, like I was attracting it and working with exactly what needed to be worked with, but not in that deliberate kind of way where it's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, play with this. You know, for me, it's less of a visual thing. And I imagine for everybody, the experience is different and unique.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, 'cause it feels when I play in that place, it definitely feels, it has a sense of like, it's very much a felt thing and also a very oral experience for me. And it feels like, something has locked into place and shifted and it is now different.
Yes. It's that locking into place feeling. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you feel it. You feel the shift in the quantum and it's like, it locks it in at your bones. That's the locking in.
Cool. Yeah. That's so cool. It's so cool to have words to, and like, you know, just a sense of a map to put with that experience. Cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool. So in the journey of yourself, as you were like, because I feel like it had to probably be like, what's that movie? National Treasure? Is that the movie with what's his name? Where they're like on a mission to find all the things and like on a scavenger hunt. I just imagine that that was what it was like when you were like connecting all these dots and like seeing all these connections and putting it all together. Like, what was that adventure like?
Oh my gosh. It's so funny because on one hand, it's extremely normal for me. I don't know how to not do it. And on the other hand, it's also, it's a bit trippy, you know, to walk through the world and like think a thought and have an ankle roll and immediately be like, oh, that's what that meant, you know, to like have it connect up that quickly and explain it to people. And I recently was playing with this a little bit because it's not like someone gives me information. I don't hear a voice. I don't, I see things for sure, but that's a skill I developed through like working with people, was like being able to see things. For the most part, I feel things and I just know things. And so I was really actually looking into some stuff the other weekend where I was like, I'm really curious if it's not just a version of synesthesia. Because there are like so many, right, that we don't know about, but it's like, I see a bone and I know what it means.
Yeah.
So there's like some people see like an alphabet letter and it's a color.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a super sweet synesthesia. For anyone listening who doesn't know, synesthesia is where you have like cross-pollination between the senses, right? So you might like be able to hear a color or see a sound. But you're right. There's like probably as many different, like probably they might not have been discovered, but like recognized, you know, quote unquote, recognized.
Yeah.
Like I imagine there are as many different types of synesthesia as there are like, you know, things to experience in the world.
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's what it's based off of, is like input and then like named by how you experience it. Yeah. And I was just playing with it and I was like, what if everything we know in the mystical world was actually come up with by someone who has synesthesia, like the planets and what they mean, right? Like, what if somebody like heard the word Jupiter and was like, I feel so expanded. Well, so, like, I just was playing with that the other weekend. So it's like, how cool.
Yeah. There's the whole, I think it's like the stoned ape theory that like language develop, like language is the, is synesthesia, right? Where like, you know, that our ancestor, our like evolutionary ancestors tripped on something in the natural world and started associating sounds with concepts, and like language was born.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Right?
It's fascinating.
It's so cool. Like, so many cool things to think about. Okay. So I have a super tangible question, actually, that's popping up as well, too.
Sure.
Two, actually. So the first one that's popping up is, as people are moving through their unique life journey and they are, you know, just bopping through the world, learning more about themselves, releasing beliefs, onboarding new ones, feeling their feelings, like doing the things that we do as humans, are they like unknowingly already like kind of shifting all the things that are going on in all of these realms? You know, like as you heal your, some of the stuff that might be going on with your inner child and you love up on your inner child more, like do your shoulder blades naturally heal themselves and all of these things?
Yes. Very definitive. Yes. One of my favorite things in working with people is getting the messages back being like, I immediately felt my shoulder blades slide down my back. You know, whenever we started working with inner child stuff. I have a woman who, so for a long time, I had a bunch of like bone healings that just kind of worked through the different bone groupings in our body. And I had a woman who did the one for the legs and sent me an email and was like, I have always had one that just like splayed out to the right. She's like, and it's back in place, you know? And so we do all of this work that we often think of as disconnected from our body. We're doing like psychotherapy and we're doing breath work and we're doing, you know, like feminine embodiment here, which that, I mean, that is connected to the body, but it's all influencing every other part of ourself, because breath work is influencing this organ of rhythm and emotion. And so you're building trust. And so you're then able to flow like both up and down from that point. You're doing shadow work. And so it's reorganizing a lot of your foundational stuff. And it's really just integrating it. It's letting it land. Because when we don't, that's when the stuff in the body persists. Like we think we click into it in the mind and we're like, great, healed that thing. But we didn't actually like let it integrate or embody. And then like it keeps popping back up because it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels like it's the nervous system disconnect where we like mentally, you know, encounter some concept or something, but it doesn't actually like land.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So, so the reason that question pops up is because I can imagine that everyone listening might be like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. This is so much information. I need to go start healing my shoulder blades. And it's like, well, no, you probably are like just doing it. You know, like if you're just like we were saying earlier, just following your curiosity and like opening to all that life is like delivering on your plate, you probably are doing the things.
And that's kind of what I love about what I do, is because for some people, this makes it really tangible. This gives them like something to grasp onto, and it becomes a felt sense. It becomes something that they can actually understand and embody and integrate, whereas it may have just felt conceptual before. Yeah. And so my experience with this, and the reason that I'm like so persistent and dedicated and talk about it all the time with integration is because there are a lot of healers and coaches out there. And this isn't like a critique. This is actually something that I think we need to bring more awareness to, is that there's not actually an embodied idea of how to integrate or how to help your people integrate. I worked with people early on in the beginning, and what they would say whenever I was having like a huge response, when I was like, oh my God, I came across this thing and I'm crying all the time. And why am I crying all the time? And I would get, oh, you just need to integrate. Well, fucking how? You know, like, and I think that that's actually the least helpful thing we can say to someone who's having that response is just integrate. Because it's so intangible.
Yes.
And so that's where I think my work is really helpful, is like, this is literally how it's integrating, y'all.
preach. It's so huge. Well, and, you know, also coming from that same energy of it not being a critique, but being like a stepping stone forward, is that I think that, number one, the integration process is going to be unique to each person depending on what they're moving through. And I think that, like, if so many people have been in the detached mental place, then the easy prescription is go integrate, you know, because it's coming from that conceptual idea of integrate versus like, okay, what is moving through your body? Are you being present with it? How is it, you know, affecting all of these other parts of yourself? And how can you be present with all the things and learn from them and take new action, you know, where you're like, actually creating this like tangible change, like meaty change.
My ultimate goal in this world is not to work individually with people, but to work with practitioners who are already in the embodiment world, right? Like, you already are an expert at what you're doing here, but let's teach you how to take your work and integrate up and integrate down, because that's going to get your client to the next place.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to keep them in this realm here that you're in. And if we can get, like, I don't know, even a quarter of the embodiment people out there teaching in all of the different realms to start understanding that, like, their clients need to go, like, up and down and move through these different phases and not just work only in one place, then we're going to change the way people feel in their body, like, holistically and completely. And we're not going to have people then being like, oh, I tried this and it didn't work for me, or I wasn't good at that. You know, it's like, there's a timing to it. It's not that you weren't good at that or that thing wasn't right for you. It's very possibly that the person you were working with didn't know how to guide you into the next piece of it that would have made it work and last.
Yes, yes. Like, you guys can't see me. I'm over here like a fucking bottle. Well, and so everything that you're speaking to feels like there are aspects of the way that I connect with people in BTAB that feels like it intuitively guiding in the up and down, because mm-hmm. I've been in experiences where that wasn't the case. And it was like, you know, for example, a similar thing where it's like, oh, just surrender, just surrender, just surrender, just surrender. And it's like, not the bottom. Or just take action, just take action, just take action. And so, like, all of these things are operating on different, you know, having that verbiage to talk about it, moving up and down through these realms is really helpful. Intuitively for me, it's like the spheres, you know, it's like moving through different spheres of experience. And sometimes surrender is beautiful. What does that look like? Like, how can we talk about the experience of that? Sometimes action is beautiful. What does that look like? How can we talk about the experience of that? And like all the in-betweens, you know, the trust, the things, the deep healing, the feeling, the feels, instead, and having this like really big dynamic, you know, repertoire is kind of like just to make intuitive sense of what you're talking about, because I'm like, yeah. Like, I have this like felt experience of what you're talking about. So being able to like put words to it is super, super cool.
Yeah. And you're exactly right there, because whenever you're getting someone telling you the same message over and over again, just surrender, just surrender, just surrender, for example, and you don't feel safe to surrender because like in like the resource level, you're like, if I surrender, then what's going to catch me, right? You're not going to be able to surrender. There's like, it's just not going to work for you.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, as you've been working through all of these things and all of these different realms, is all of that, because I know that you've been putting together the Oracle deck as well, like, is all of this in there? What kind of magic have you like woven into this magical little Oracle deck that you're creating? I'm so excited for this baby to be born.
Oh, me too. Yeah. So this is actually like almost like the stumbling block of where I am right now, because it's like, okay, you're finished with the bones. Here you go. Like, you got to tidy that package up so that you can do six times the work, you know, like you can do six times the amount of stuff. And I'm kind of sitting here going, okay, I'm wrapping up the bones. What do I do with the rest of it? How do I start working with the rest of this to bring it to people? Because it's very clear to me that one-on-one sessions aren't the answer. Like, this is way too big for that. So I'm kind of almost like, hold please, that you're going to wait for a minute. All right. Like, I'm going to talk about you, but you're going to wait for a minute because we're not doing anything yet. And really wrapping up what it is in the Oracle deck, which is just bones. So it's kind of the like culmination of all of the sessions and what I know in my own body. And just, I've been working with an illustrator who has been amazing.
They're so gorgeous. Like, oh my God, you guys, you have to go check them out. They're absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. So we just had a really interesting process of, I would collage everything and write notes and I'd send it to her and she would digitally paint them and she'd send it back. And so we would edit them and kind of work with the energy of the card between the two of us. I'm writing the guidebook right now. So it's really going to function almost like any other Oracle deck in that you draw a card and it's not necessarily the name of the bone. Like, you're not going to just draw like the left scapula because that's not helpful. You know, like you're going to draw a card and it's going to say like blessing and burden. And so then you're going to start understanding and being able to intuitively connect up. My left scapula is all about how I feel about things that I was maybe burdened with as a young child, how those things have brought me to this point. Can I see them as blessings? And this isn't about bypassing and overriding, because like some things legitimately we will carry as burdens and we will just need to like heal and release and transmute them. Like, they were not our fault. They were not something that we brought to ourselves. So my hope is that the deck leads people to connect with their body in a way that they actually need to use it less. And I know that that's really funny to say for a tool, right? Because whenever we're talking about like business and marketing, like we want people, it's a weird thing, but we want people to need us. Like, you want people to need the things that you put out there. My entire goal is that I want you to connect with you. And if this is a tool that helps you do it, then my job is done. Then I'm like the happiest little lobster that there ever was. So I want you to be able to draw a card or make a journal practice of it, or like dig into like some shadowy stuff in the bones. And at the same time, be like, okay, this right foot card is stalking me. What do I need to know about what I'm activating in this world? Like, how's my energy flowing here or not flowing here? And really take that and embody it so that you then do start to move through the world in a different way. Or so that then you do understand that maybe whenever you get up in the morning and your right ankle hurts really bad, it's not just because you have like a joint or a tendon thing. It might also be because you're not super excited about what you're activating in the world. So I started doing something really unique with it, actually. And to help me birth it into the world, because I realized I actually don't work very well solo. If you look at human design, I have an environment style that is called observed. Like, I need to be watched while I'm working, which is interesting in the digital world, right? Because we do so much by ourselves. But what I did was I created a space in Notion, which is like a workspace app. It's amazing. I love it. And I have put all of the card art in there, like the creation process. I'm recording teaching videos for each of the cards. And so I wrote the first draft of the guidebook. I'm making the teaching videos. And then the teaching videos are helping me to edit into the second draft of the guidebook to make sure I'm getting everything I wanted to get and covering it, you know. And I do that by verbally processing and by teaching. So that space exists, and people who were like super excited about the deck are starting to build a community in there. And so they're coming in and they're getting
Yeah, they're getting like a full-blown course in addition to the deck and really getting to like immerse themselves. And I'm in there like replying to comments and stuff. So I'm hearing feedback. I'm getting questions on what they're like curious about. So what I'm really hoping to do is get everything, like all of the teaching videos put together and then the second draft done. And like the card art is all finished. And then it's just really up to me to finalize everything, to get it in the guidebook, to get the cards in InDesign, which is a creation program, and coordinate with the printers. So I'm hoping to be able to pre-sale this in March sometime. And then probably closer to the end of March, just with the way things seem to be moving. And then have it produced and shipped out hopefully before summer in spring. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Congratulations. Oh my goodness. So if people want to get in the Notion community, like, is that still alive and thriving? They can come and like learn more about the things and connect with you in there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, people are joining every week, so it's still growing and it's going to be something that continues. I'm probably going to change form. Like, it may actually become a course that you can buy with the deck if you want to take yourself deeper into it. But as the deck moves through creation and until I decide to change the form, the Notion community is going to stay open because I really love being able to support people in that deeper way and knowing that they can come and ask questions if there's something that's really coming up for them.
Totally. Okay, cool. So if people want to go down the rabbit hole and connect with you and join the Notion community and do all of those things, where can they find you?
So that is, I call it Oracle Insider, and it's on my website, ashleystinson.com. It's like the very first offer basically that you get to. It says, you know, welcome to Oracle Insider. And you can kind of explore more about what's inside, what it looks like, and decide to join from there. And I think you can also find it under maybe like offerings in the main menu or something, but it's super obvious, super easy to find on the main page.
Sweet. Cool. Yeah. So everybody definitely go check out the website and find you on Instagram as well at the Ashley Stinson.
Yes.
Yep. Do you hang on Insta the most, or do you have, is that like your preferred social media, or do you have?
I am on Insta the most, and will use the most loosely. Because right now creation really is in the deck. So I feel like social media has gotten a bit of like a downgrade since I've been pouring so much energy into making this like beautiful, loving creation. But I'm also on Insight Timer.
Cool.
So you can find, there's two meditations with me up there now. And if you just go to insighttimer.com/AshleyStinson or find me on the app, you can find both of those. And I'm going to be adding to that space. So I'm really trying to grow, be very conscious in how I'm using social media in a way that I feel like is really helpful to people and not just like as a vanity thing. So being able to put meditations on Insight Timer is, I think, one of the most helpful ways that I can show up with people and also connect with community, because you can comment and we can chat on there as well.
Awesome. Yes, dude. Like, I know that you can't see me because I got my video off now, but like snaps and circles and giant head nods for using social media in an impactful way. You're like speaking my language there. Cool. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your space and your energy and, you know, filling everybody in on all of this, because it was a fascinating conversation to have. So I know that everybody's going to be super hyped to listen to it. And I just love you so much. And I'm so glad that we got to share some space together.
Thank you for having me. This was a really fun conversation to have, to get to dive into like the nitty gritty of it and share a conversation with someone who geeks out as much as I do.
I'm here for the geeking. I'm here for the geeking.